Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the JV Queen and Dean and Founder of Directions University. I am calling in from Valparaiso, Indiana, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And we've got a great show for you today. We've got my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady here. Hello, Rhonda.
Well, hello. It is a beautiful day in the Ozarks out here. We had some rain last night, and now it's kind of chilly, but the sun is all making it nice and warm, and it's a bright blue sky. It's gorgeous today. I love it.
It's warm enough for no coat here in Northwest Indiana. Yeehaw!
I bet you're thrilled. That's how we were yesterday. It was 75 degrees here in Missouri, southern Missouri.
Wow.
And we were walking. Yeah, today we need a little.
It's 75. It's probably 60-ish, but that's still a big improvement than the snow we had 10 days ago.
Yeah, it's better than snow for sure. So I'm really excited about our show today, and I just love how things happen through the power of relationships around here. Not that that's any big surprise since that's what we teach all day, but it's just such a beautiful thing to see all of the things that happen, the changes that happen in people, the great connections that are made through relationships.
Absolutely, and I know it's been relationships that have brought us our guest today.
Absolutely, it certainly has, which is extremely fun. So the way that this happened, and I will introduce our guest momentarily, and I just tweeted about it a minute ago, but here's what happened is our previous guest and our friend John Hericheran had sent out a message saying that one of his friends had a new Kindle book and was asking people if they would please help to purchase the book and to spread the word and all of those good things. And this was a few months ago, in October actually. I think it was early October. So I'm like, sure. So I spread the word a little bit and helped them out. And I thought, man, what a great guest this would be for our show. And lo and behold, there there we go. And John said, you guys should have Yanni on your show. Well, yeah, he's already on my list, so it's really, really fun how those things happen and that through our awesome friends we get introduced to amazing people who then become our guests in all different walks of life. Last week we had an actor-director. This week we have somebody who is a spiritual teacher and a meditation teacher. And we've had, you know, Mark Joyner, we've had all kinds of different types of businesses and different people. And so it's really fun to see how, with all of those different people, the way that relationships power their business. So how about if I go ahead and tell people about Yanni?
That would be great.
All right. Well, Yanni Maniatis is our guest today, and he has a book. And it's available in various ways, including on Amazon as a book and on Kindle, and it's also available in a very special package with additional gifts. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But Yanni has been a teacher of meditation and intuitive development and healing and all sorts of other metaphysical studies for over 20 years. He has been doing intuitive counseling also for the past 15 years. And he is certified in various types of holistic healing and has just studied many different teachings and healings from people all over the world. The focus of his work is to help people experience that still small voice within, or what he calls the embrace, which I love, and I can't wait to talk to you more about that. So within that still small voice, or with that embrace, is where he believes that all true healing originates. over 20 years ago, he was blessed with an experience of profound embrace while in a meditation, which radically changed his life. And since then, it has become crystal clear to him that he wanted to deepen that experience, not only for himself, but even more to help others to find this quality for themselves. And this is why he has taught and has developed so many different programs on intuitive development, meditation, and self-mastery. His work on integrating the divine feminine into one's life. So I'm just so excited about this, and he has published an award-winning book and a best-selling package. It's called Magical Keys to Self-Mastery, Creating Miracles in Your Life. You can find that book on Amazon. You can also see the special package with that over at asktsl.com/mastery. And so, Yanni, welcome to our show. There's just so much ground we can cover, and I cannot wait to talk with you.
Hi, Rhonda. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, hi.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you too, Gina. It's really a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the magical keys to self-mastery and creating miracles in your life.
Yeah.
How did you come up with this?
Well, it came up with me, so to speak. It just kind of came, just bubbled right out from who I am and what I am. And, you know, as I was kind of reflecting on what would I want to share with, you know, the folks that listen to your program. And, you know, some of this stuff may sound a little woo-woo to some people, either meditation or developing your intuition or any of that good stuff. And actually, it isn't. It's all very, very practical. And in terms of the kinds of things that I feel I would like to share with your audience, but obviously you can redirect me, just, you know, actually you'd better redirect me because I'll just keep talking. So anyhow, make sure you ask questions. You know, make sure you ask questions. Because I'll go wherever
I go.
No worries.
Have a great time.
Anyhow, you know, intuition is a marvelous skill. And again, for most people, intuition seems as kind of this mysterious thing that only a handful of people know about. But intuition is actually something that we all have the gift to work with. And it is something that all of us use in our daily lives, whether we realize it or not. And certainly if you're in business, you really need to kind of, so to speak, get a read on either an individual you're working with or a product you're beginning to develop or whatever it is you're trying to do. And you can use all kinds of cognitive information, you know, and gather all kinds of data. But ultimately, when you're making a decision, it's got to feel right. And so anyhow, over the years, I've worked a lot with intuition and also with meditation. And develop all kinds of little techniques to help people kind of access that part of themselves, that part of their brain, so to speak, or a right brain type part of yourself, where you can actually easily and at will, so to speak, anytime you wish, kind of get a hit, kind of get a gut feeling. And then over time, as you learn to get how to get there, you can begin to trust it more and more, and then you can begin to live what I feel is a more creative, more inspired, more magical life. So, again, please ask questions here wherever you wish. I'll just keep
talking
away.
Oh, no worries. You might be surprised how much, even though we deal with business and the show is about business, but so much about what we do. About finding that inner guidance. And so, Yanni, how do you bring people to this place of, let's say they go, all right, listen, I know that I must be able to have this power, but if someone says, right now I just don't feel like I have that, I don't know how to tap into my intuition or inner guidance or how that can help me, what would you do to help them open up to that intuition?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would begin by helping to convince that skeptical part of themselves that, in fact, this is not you know, woo-woo again, or just available to certain people. I mean, intuition is not a no-brainer function. Actually, it is a right brain function. And it follows a logic, you know, albeit different from the left brain, but it does really work, and it does. There are pathways in order to kind of figure out how to get there, so to speak. You know, our right brain sees the bigger picture and deduces things. The left brain just looks at details and analyzes. And so when you're making decisions in any way, be it business, relationships, health, etc., it really helps to kind of use your whole brain. And as an example, like the left brain, you know, would be something that stands in front of a freight train and then counts the number of cars that are going by and catalogs their colors. While the right brain will just step back from standing right there in front of the freight train, go up on a hill, look down at the train, look down at the whole train, see where it's been coming from and where it's going. In other words, it gives you the bigger picture. And so what is interesting is that science has found that actually there is a part of our brain that actually processes, so to speak, our intuitive abilities. Neuroscience has found that intuition physically exists in our brain, in the emotional part of our forebrain, actually. And actually, if I can find the quote here, yeah, here it is. There was a neuroscientist at the University of Iowa College who feels that intuition and gut feelings have a firm biological basis. His name is Antonio Damasio. And in a paper that he has published in the journal Science, Damasio described experiments that he did which showed that people have a covert system in their brains for telling them when decisions are good or bad, and that this system draws upon emotional memories and is activated long before people are consciously aware they've decided anything. Damasio continues to say that these intuitions help guide decision-making on an unconscious level. But if these covert memories or feelings make it to consciousness, we don't, you know, they are only sensed as gut feelings. But the whole point of what I'm trying to say is that we do know this stuff. We pick up on it, and it's just, it's interesting, you know, if you were to allow all the data that comes at you to actually be consciously, for you to be consciously aware of it, you'd be overwhelmed and you would just kind of burn out. I mean, you can't deal with all the data that's going on, even if just looking out at the sunset or a sunrise or whatever. And you filter things. And so because of the left brain kind of education that we've all had, namely 18,000 hours of left brain training has occurred by high school. I don't know who counted all that, but somebody did. And we have very little right brain training. Yeah, a left brainer. No, anyhow, somebody had nothing better. Somebody had nothing better to do with themselves. But anyhow, but thank you for doing that. And I never, you know, anyhow, I assume it's correct. I'm not going to sit here and figure that one out. But what happens is we have very little quote unquote right brain training, and so therefore we don't access that part of our brain or our ability that would help us to be able to access this information or this data that we are picking up on a subliminal level, but which we are not processing, we are not noticing, we are not paying any attention to. So, you know, the left brain analyzes and judges and works with words and, you know, analyzes and does data type stuff. You know, it's like a computer. But the right brain works differently. This breaking up of our brains into right brain and left brain actually isn't accurate either, but it's just the way to kind of understand it. In either case, our right brain kind of processes differently, and it actually processes through pictures. It remembers things as pictures. Modern science has come to understand we don't remember, you know, like if I say to you tree, what happens is, in your brain, you don't spell out T-R-E-E and then somehow know what I'm talking about. Deep within you, that, you know, word or that those sounds that make up the word tree trigger within you a picture in your mind as well as an emotion. And therefore, you kind of know, I've said to you, well, I've mumbled, you know, the sound tree, and then in your mind, you have a picture of a tree. So, interestingly too, this information of kind of picking up on something other than cognitive information, left brain information, comes to you as pictures in your mind. And so, just as, you know, the left brain has a language, namely, you know, speech and English in our case, at least that's what I'm speaking to some degree here, that the right brain has a language too, but it's a picture language. You know, it's like you create a pictographical language that you use as your frame of reference to gather intuitive information. So, in effect, it's like, you know, go read a picture book, kid, you know, and then you'll learn how to pick up information on a right brain level. And what's interesting about this is, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So, if I paint a picture for you, you get a lot more information than if I spend an hour blabbing at you. But, and you too can pick up on information through a pictographic language. Now, let me stop being so abstract here and just give you an example. Or again, if you have a question, just, you know, shoot it at me.
Well, I was going to ask you for an example, and to kind of make it a little bit real and tangible for folks would be great.
Yeah, let me make it concrete. Yeah, I did intend to get there somewhere. I was just trying to deprogram the left brain here. If I wanted to, you know, I've never met Rhonda, you know, just other than online here. And if I wanted to get a sense for her, one thing I could do is just say to myself, okay, well, one, I've got to calm myself down a little bit and then just say to myself, okay, let me imagine Rhonda as a car. And then I would just close my eyes and what kind of a car is she? And, oh, I can't do that. I can't think. No. Just shut up. You know, tell your left brain to shut up and just sit there. And imagine any person you want. We don't have to go focus on Rhonda right now, unless you want to. And see the kind of car she is. Okay?
I'd love to know what kind of car you guys think I am.
Excuse me?
I just said I'd love to know what kind of car you think I am. That's funny.
Well, okay, let me... I'm picking up on a car, but I'll tell you in a second. I'll tell you in a minute or two. Anyhow, don't take me for that second piece here. What happens here is that you will see a color that the car is. You will see a setting that the car is in. If you keep your left brain shut up, you know, quiet it, tell it to go take a break, go find something else to do with itself, go solve some other problem somewhere else. But let that creative childlike part of you, that right brain, just sit there with it. And again, initially you need to close your eyes to do this. You need to actually chill out a little bit, relax, and then just see what you get. Again, you're going to get a car. And again, if you're not into cars, then imagine her as a tree. You know, imagine her as a flower. It doesn't matter, as an elephant. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to choose. If cars aren't your thing, that's fine. Choose a tree. Choose an animal. Anything you want to choose. It doesn't really matter. Whatever would resonate for you. And again, obviously, you could use this on anyone. And just, again, see the setting this thing is in. We'll keep using the car. And whether it's moving or not, you know, what kind of a road it is on, et cetera. And, you know, for Rhonda, I immediately got a yellow Mustang with the convertible down, with the top down, just kind of, you know, breezing down the road and moving rather quickly and having a big smile on her face. And what you begin to do with this is you play with it and you let yourself just get into the feeling or the movie that's going there. And as you do that, you then get to pick up on who Rhonda is. I mean, obviously I'm blabbing away here, so I can only do so much about that, you know, in that regard. But you get a feeling for that person, and you get an idea for them, about them. okay, how do we make this even more specific so that it's kind of like useful in terms of when you meet somebody? And again, ask your questions if you wish at any point here. What you're in effect doing here is creating templates or, you know, they give you feedback on a person or on a situation. For myself, you know, I mean, I've been in business for myself for many, many, many years, and I bump into all kinds of people. There are all kinds of people who are trying to call me and all kinds of people who are trying to, you know, come up with some kind of idea to do something together and, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of stuff that go on. And so what I have created for myself, and for me now this is kind of second nature. I don't really have to think this, nor do I have to kind of, you know, go into a, you know, semi-meditative state to kind of pick up on, in other words, quiet myself, take a few deep breaths, and then just kind of feel what's going on with the situation, which I advise that you, you know, would need to do to start this. But anyhow, I've set up a set of templates in order to help me understand whether it is right for me, you know, whether it's the right thing for me to work with an individual. And so what I've done is something very, very simple. I have an image in my mind of a specific person who I would not trust with anyone, with anything in my life. That's my template of who I wouldn't work with. Then I have a template, you know, an image of a person who I've worked with in the past who, yeah, the relationship was mezza-mezza. Yeah, yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't that good. It's kind of like on a scale of 0 to 10, it's like a 5. And then I have an image of someone who I trust, you know, with everything, namely my wife. And so what I do is when either I'm speaking with them or interacting with them, even through an email or whatever it is, I allow myself to just get a hit, so to speak, on where they lie in that continuum from, let's say, a 0, you know, to that image of someone I wouldn't trust with anything, to my wife, who would be the 10, let's say, or 100, whatever you want to use for a scale. And I let myself get a feeling or a hit on that, and then that determines whether I continue the conversation or, you know, the interaction or whatever it is, or whether I just decide, you know, in a nice way, to just say, nah, this ain't going to work. I'm not going to continue with this. And the interesting thing with this is excuse me, as you begin to play with this, and I didn't say work with this, because you can't work with this. This is not a left brain thing. This is a right brain kind of be like a child type thing, where you just allow yourself to feel or sense or to get images, you know, as a child would. You then get very, very good at it, and you can immediately, whether the person's in your presence or not, whether it's just simply an email, it's a picture of them, whatever, somebody brings up their name. I mean, it gets to the point where, you know, you need very little information other than, you know, just some focal point, you know, person's name or something. And you immediately get a hit to say to yourself, yes or no, or maybe type of a thing. So I have found this to be extremely valuable. Again, over time, this just becomes something that happens like a snap of a finger. Because what you're doing here, and again, stop me anytime you wish, is by initially learning this template technique, and let me slow down and say again, for you to do this initially requires you to slow down, maybe take a few deep breaths, close your eyes so you don't have all this other stimulation to get you going, blah, 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 have your brain just shooting off in 10,000 different directions. And then bring up the name of a person or the image of the person, and then just see where they lie. Well, first of all, you've got to make your templates, but you make those, and then see where they lie in this continuum. And then, even to add further to that, another little thing I do, and I use this all the time, is I set up a yes-no template. A yes is a big green, you know, yes, and a no is a big red no. In terms of yes or no. Matter of fact, I'll say a little more about yes or no in a second, but let me continue what I'm saying here. So you don't need to take any more than 30 seconds to a minute to do this, which may seem like an eternity, but it isn't. When you're doing it, that is, it may seem that way. And just play with this, and again, I'm using the word play, and just see how it works you know, initially as you're doing it. You know, I wouldn't determine whether who my soulmate is by this the first time you try it. You know, whether you have a major million-dollar deal coming down the line, I wouldn't, you know, necessarily go with this on the first try unless you feel comfortable and then go for it. But, you know, you take responsibility for all of it. You use it, you know, in situations that aren't as important. And they may be as simple as the phone is ringing and you can see who it is from your caller ID. And you just ask on a scale of 0 to 10, is it worth my having this conversation right now? And then you decide not to, and you can always get back. And later you realize, you know, it really wasn't worth it at all. That's what this guy just wanted to drain me at this moment. You know, or they didn't have anything intelligent to say, and I have other things to do. So you play, so to speak, with this technique. And actually, I'd like to give you an even simpler one to play with. And what I kind of alluded to there, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, before you do that, you've given a lot of great material, but what I'd like to do is just take a moment to kind of unpack some of that and just kind of summarize, if that's all right, before we, you know, move into another example, just to make it
sure.
a little easier. What you're saying is just is fabulous material, but if somebody is in this space of this is all very new to them, that could have just been like the fire hose for them. So let me just unpack it a little bit.
Sure, sure.
So what you're suggesting is that, and you're saying that everybody has access to your intuition, it's just like anything else, it's a matter of practicing. And just as if somebody has learned how to ride a bicycle, or when you first learned how to walk, or if you've learned another language, or if you've learned skills to start a business or anything else, or learn how to put up a blog, anything is, you have to practice it first, and it's really helpful to do things that are going to make it easy. So what you're suggesting, Yanni, is that you have this way of creating templates. And don't we all love templates? Because they're like a recipe.
Right.
So what you're saying is put up sort of a recipe where you can go into a relaxed state through some breathing and relaxation or whatever, and then you set up a template for a, yes, this is a fantastic person, one of the best people in the world. It could be your spouse or someone that you trust completely. And then there would be a, no way, this is not a great person template. And I'm sure we all have at least one of those where you can, so you mention somebody and just about feel sick in your stomach. That would be the no. And then if there's something in the middle, someone that you feel kind of neutral or just so-so, and there's not a real strong yes or no, so you're kind of in your mind setting up pictures that create this template.
Correct.
And I love how you're talking about playing with this. It's not that you're trying to force anything, but you're allowing these images to come up, and you're establishing when you want to ask about if this is a good person or a good situation for you to put your energy into, then you can use that great person, the not-so-great person, and the middle-of-the-road person to be your little mental recipe or template for whether that should happen.
Correct.
So that's really a good thing, and I just like to stop and highlight some of those things sometimes for folks. You also talk about, which I think is brilliant, is you work on simple things. You know, when I've taught stress management, I always tell people, don't try to learn meditation when you're right in the middle of, you know, there's a fire, your house is burning down. That's not when you practice. You know?
Right.
You practice when it's something that's not life-threatening or that's not as much of a big deal so that you can get the habit into your nervous system. And that's what you're talking about, too, is practicing
Correct.
With little things.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah,
Tina, what about you? Anything that you wanted to make sure to highlight or a question that you might have?
I'm really just fascinated by it and loving all the advice. So I'm just going to let him keep going with examples.
Great, yes, and I want definitely some more examples. So, Yanni, go ahead and let's have some more examples. That's great.
Yeah, thank you, Rhonda. Actually, the example that I wanted to go with next is the one that you might want to play with on a regular basis, because it's the one that'll help you kind of exercise your intuition muscles, so to speak, and begin to give you confidence that they actually are there and that they actually are strengthening and work. And that is the yes-no template. And, you know, there are a lot of little things we do in the day that we wonder, you know, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Yes or no, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, from where do I find a parking place to which grocery line to stand in to, you know, do I, you know, answer this call, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so for myself, I've set up kind of a yes-no template. It's a little more elaborate than just simply yes and no, but as I was beginning to say a little bit there before, what I've created for myself is, again, an image or a template in my mind of a yes. And this yes, and there are a couple of yeses. One is a big green yes in capital letters, you know, that just kind of goes boing, 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 boing. And then I have another yes that's a capital Y and a small E and S. And then I have a yes that's small, lowercase y, e, s. They're all still green. And then I have my no's. Not my no, N-O-S-E, but my N-O's.
No.
And in a scale of going from no, little case N, little case O, that's red, and then capital N, little case O, no, and then big, glaring N, O, in capital letters with an X, you know, red X through it.
Flashing or whatever, right. Gotcha.
Yeah, whatever, really getting my attention. And so, again, this is another one of these continuums, you know. Because life always has gradations of meaning and gradations of, you know, what do you do here? There's no black and white. It's not necessarily all gray either, but it's all different colors. So what happens here is what you can do with this in order to kind of, you know, verify that, in fact, this is working for you or can work for you, and to build up your confidence with it is, in those little decisions in the day, and I mean even from the most mundane, you know, of where the parking spot is and all that, just kind of, before you make that turn or before you choose the grocery line or et cetera, those are just two mundane examples. I'm sure there are many others that you could you think of applying this to. Just, you know, slow down enough for 10 seconds to ask, where does this fall in that continuum? You know, is it a strong yes? You know, medium, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then follow that and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And continually just play with this, and over time, it, you know, again becomes second nature, and over time it becomes very, very accurate for you. Now, it sounded like there might have been a little bit of a question back there or something. No?
No. Do you recommend that people would, to kind of write to take notes? I would tend to think that might be very helpful. In other words, to do your little relaxation, get your hit, and say, I asked this question, I got my medium yes or my whichever thing that they got, you know, and to write that down and then test and then write the reaction. Do you ask people to do that? Or do you?
Yes, I call that an intuition journal. Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
It's always good to keep that because, one, it'll also give you a sense for the kinds of things that you have more objectivity around and the things you have less objectivity around. You know, as you play along with these things. And I might say, too, that know that sometimes, for some people, again, a lot of people say to me, well, I'm not visual. You know, I'm not very good at visualizing. And I say to them, okay, so what does your spouse look like? You know, what does your living room look like? And, of course, they have no problem, you know, so to speak, remembering that. So, yes, we can all do that. But for some people, they're either, you know, there's a mental block with regard to that and or kind of an insecurity around it. What they might also just pay attention to is what they might feel in their body. You know, when something is resonant, you kind of feel a certain sense of relaxation. When something isn't, you might just get this funny feeling in your stomach or somewhere else. So intuition, you know, kind of has its different ways to kind of let you know that it's there and it's operating and it's giving you information. There's an interesting little aside I want to say here, and again, please ask questions, but let me just get through this one. George Soros is a billionaire investor, and he has all sorts of theories to back up his decisions, when he makes them. And this guy's made a lot of money in his life. But according to his son, and this is a quote from his son, at least half of his explanations are bull. The reason he changes his position on the market or whatever he is doing is because his back starts to kill him. It literally goes into spasm, and it's his early warning system that says, no, don't invest there. So, you know, it's, and let me go back to what Rhonda was saying. You know, again, as you do this, and again, do it in a quiet setting where you can. Obviously, if you're trying to deal with a parking spot and all, you can't. That's a more active setting. Take your little notes and all that. But notice not only, you know, so to speak, the visual hit you get, but also notice if there's any change in the way you feel physiologically. And again, over time, you know, it's like Rhonda was saying there earlier, and it's kind of thing I use too when I say this. It's like riding a bike. Initially, you know, you're a spastic. I mean, you don't know what in heaven's name you're doing. You're afraid of this. You're overthinking the whole thing, and you really don't know what in heaven's name you're doing, and you're afraid you're going to go flying. But then with your parents' help, which is most of us, I think, learned how to do this when we were children, with their reassurance and reassure yourself, and gradually it what seemed to be daunting or almost impossible becomes actually second nature. And also with this, I mean, in order for it to work, you have to create the intention that you want it to work. I mean, if within you is not only a belief it doesn't work, but a decision that you've made that says this isn't going to work for me and I don't even want it to work for me, then, excuse me, don't waste your time. I think anyone who's listening on this program knows all that. But you do want to kind of, as you begin to work with this, to say, I want to start using my intuition. It's just like if you want to start riding a bicycle, you have to say, I want to start to ride my bicycle. It begins somewhere with that desire, you know, and then you can put the energy into learning how to ride the bike or learning how to use your intuition. As well, it is, again, learning how to pick up on information in a way that's a bit different than you have been doing. Again, it's not woo-woo. This is inherent in all of us, you know. But it is, it's whatever you look at, you see. Whatever you're looking for is what you're going to see. You know, your view depends on what you're looking at. And so what are you looking for? What are you looking at? If you start to say, you know what, I'd like to pick up on these quote-unquote more subtle impressions. Believe me, they are not subtle. Over time, they are just information that would come to me, would come to you, or as they come to me, as, you know, I have my eyes open, I hear things, I see things, I smell things, et cetera, I touch things. I don't know which one I'm missing, one of the five senses. But this is another sense that you simply need to develop that's atrophied simply because you haven't developed it. But as you do develop it, it becomes another sense that you use. I wouldn't label it sixth. I would label it as first, but, you know, that's my deal. But anyhow, it's certainly one of your other senses as equal as the other five that simply is in your repertoire that you use to gather information. So, again, as you create the intention, as you begin to then look for it, so to speak, again, using a template or just, you know, one of the interesting things I found, I found this in myself, but I certainly know other people do it all the time, is when you meet someone, you're not even conscious you're doing this on some level, but just stop and realize that what you're doing is you're looking at them and you're categorizing and analyzing them immediately. You know, body type, what they're wearing, what their name is, you know, what you think their socioeconomic status might be from that. Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's all kinds of categories, bing, 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 your mind is putting them in right away. And we all do that. We have that whole little kind of program that immediately we just kind of, you know, plug in and go, and we get a readout. And so what I would suggest is that added to all that programming that you already have, vis-a-vis how you, you know, kind of interact gather information about whoever you're meeting or whatever you're kind of looking at, that you add this piece that allows you to perhaps maybe go beyond your projections, to go beyond the way you've been gathering information. And I might add here, and people always ask me about this, well, maybe I'm really just, you know, when I'm using my intuition, I think most people here on this call will understand that they project onto people. Maybe not all the time, but we all do that. And certainly I've had people say to me as I'm helping them develop their intuition that, well, you know, how do I know this isn't my projection? How do I know this isn't the same old nonsense that, you know, et cetera, et cetera? Well, the answer to that is over time you will. As you practice this, as you keep an intuitive journal, and thank you for reminding me to mention that, Rhonda, you will begin to sense the difference between you not being kind of centered and grounded and just picking up information versus you projecting because you are at that point either emotionally upset or you're too frazzled or, I don't know, you're scared or who knows what else is going on, rather than that you're more kind of grounded and centered and more really aware of what it is that's in front of you, who it is that's in front of you. And this gets me to want to say one more thing, that one of the gifts of working with your intuition is that you know, most of us, myself included, I come from a Southern Mediterranean background, and drama was just the whole way everyone functioned in my family. How much drama can we get? You know, just all kinds of chaos and drama, and oh my God, everything was the end of the world, and everything was awfulized and catastrophized to the ultimate end. And
right,
so,
right.
I mean,
you sound like you lived in my house.
Yeah, nah, you lived in mine. No, my mother was the worst catastrophizer on the planet. You know, of course, that's
my mother
opinion.
Still is.
Yeah, no, I'm sure yours is probably, no, anyhow, whatever. They all came from the same, I don't know what they came from. But
they
anyhow,
out of
bless
the same,
them.
The same cookie press.
Yeah, yeah. But bless them. I mean, you know, that's what they learned and
yes.
That's what they taught. But at some point in my life, I went, you know, as a teenager, I said to myself, I don't really like this. So anyway, I began my exploration to all kinds of things. But anyhow, you know, we can, you know, live like that, which I consider unconscious. You know, the Buddhists would call that, you know, kind of, well, not... living a forgetful life, or you can live mindfully, or you can live consciously, or you can live intentionally. And you can, instead of just kind of letting all those old programs run, so to speak, that usually are just very defensive, very fearful, very manipulative, very controlling, very calculating, very analyzing, very comparing. And sorry for having, you know, I hope I haven't judged anybody by that. I just judged myself by that, by everything I just said. Instead, you can kind of take your mind out of it. In other words, the programs that your mind uses, and instead just sense, and I know this is a woo-woo word, or feel what's going on in a situation, using your right brain rather than just simply analyzing. And kind of rather than skimming the surface and doing a measurement of that individual, you know, from a series of categories that you have decided or what determines someone's value or what you're going to judge someone or something by, instead you just kind of take a breath and allow yourself instead to look at that other individual as maybe not someone other than you, but maybe someone similar to you, and just get a feeling rather than a thinking about them. And, you know, we think our way through lives, and it's very limiting if we only do that, if we can kind of sense things first and then use our thinking faculty to integrate what we're feeling, I feel we have our more holistic, you know, kind of way of interacting with people. So that was a boatload I just said there, and I could keep going, but I'll
no, that's a great boatload. So what you're talking about is that not only just doing the thinking and the categorizing that tends to happen in the left brain manner that people do in terms of how somebody looks or dresses or whatever, but using that, learning to use that intuition to trust it over time so that it becomes a guidance system for you.
Correct. Right, right. In life, you know, correct, it helps you be a guidance system as well, but, and again, this will kind of maybe bring in a little bit about, to just make a comment about what meditation is, here is, it's not about spacing out. It's not just simply about relaxing and stress management, you know, which it is, and which is a very good place to begin with it if you've never played with it. But it's a way of life. You know, life is a trip, but where are you going? What is it all do, you know, and should all over yourself? Or is it maybe something else? Is it one endless stream of, again, do-dos and should-shoulds? Or is it maybe one moment of discovering something new in each moment, of seeing the good or the beauty, of, again, you know, the whole deal of smelling the roses? And the only way you can really, so to speak, work with or access, not work with, play with or access your intuition is if you quiet your mind, you know, for that moment. I'm not saying throw the mind out completely, but I'm just saying quiet it sufficiently so that all of its noise, all of its static, all of its chatter, all of its busyness, just kind of subsides, you know. Initially, it's only going to subside at most. And then you can eavesdrop, you know, so to speak, on the intuitive realm. You know, and actually, I'm going to keep going here. I'm going to go where I'm going with this. I'm going to say a little bit about meditation here, and if you kind of want me not to, I won't, but
no,
whatever.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean... You know, who is your most significant other? If it isn't you, you're wrong. You are your most significant other. And you, or I have found, okay, this is all what I believe. And if you don't believe it, I don't care, you're wrong. No, this is what I believe. I am my most significant other. And I am who I need to be spending the most quality time with. That doesn't say I don't spend quality time with my wife and with my son and with my kitty cats and with other people that I care and love in my life. And I do, and I make sure that I do. But I've come to understand that I am the most significant other. I am that. And the only way I can spend time with myself is not watching TV or listening to somebody else, or, you know, being obsessively compulsive on Facebook, on the internet, you know, on Facebook, I mean, or any of these other things that, quote unquote, are relaxing. You know, the only way I can do that is if I just stop, sit, park my fanny somewhere, and park my mind as well, quiet my mind, and this then simply, I say, open my heart or feel. Because it is there in that quiet, and eventually you come to a place of quiet. And initially, when you sit down and just try to quiet your mind, you begin to hear, "Oh my God, what is going on?" You begin to realize you're certifiably insane when you begin to hear, yeah, you know, the chatter, the noise, the loops of silliness, the loops of negativity, the loops of fear, the loops of whoopee, whoopee, poopies that just go on and on and on and on. Oh, my God. And well, there's more to say about that, but I won't. But it really has an effect on you. You don't even realize all that nonsense is going on
right
there. And as you begin to, and that is a way to de-stress, to realize what that is and then begin to objectify from it and realize, huh, that isn't real, or why do I need to keep thinking that? And again, every thought you have has a physiological effect on your body. So do not think that you have the luxury of a negative thought, because you do not. Because science has found that every thought has a physiological effect on your body. So every negative thought goes, creates in your body. Anyhow, I'm going to go off on a tangent if I do that one. Let me, maybe I'm out of tangent now, but let me at least stay on the first tangent I was on. And that is that as you begin to, again, sit and observe that lunacy, that insanity, and begin to just allow yourself to breathe and relax and just let it run its course. You know, your mind has a mind of its own. And begin to allow for some silence to begin to birth itself. Well, not birth itself, will come into your awareness. It's been there all along. It is there that you then begin to eavesdrop on yourself. It is there where, again, your intuition lies. It is there where your creativity lies. It is there that is the bedrock of your being, you know, and it is there where you are. When Rhonda was described, was kind of just doing a little bit of my bio there, she had mentioned that over 20 years ago, I had this profound experience of what I called, what I call now the embrace, or call then the embrace, or whatever, it doesn't matter. And what had happened was, is my mind had gone still. I was sitting in meditation, and everything was quiet. Finally, you know, and then all of a sudden I felt this profound feeling of oneness or embrace or connection to everything. We want to call it God or whatever. I'm not going to get into that stuff. Though of course I could, but I won't. And it was there that I understood this is the bedrock of my being. That all my years of looking for stress management techniques and ways to calm myself down were all very, very valuable and all helped me kind of, you know, from going 500 miles an hour to slow down, at least to some degree. But when I experienced the sense of connection to something, to myself, and here I capitalize self, to my inner being, whatever the heck you want to call it, doesn't really matter, whether the heavens you want to call it, I went, oh my goodness. This is the bedrock to my being, and this is where I feel complete and whole, and this is where I feel value or valued or embraced or just simply am. I simply am, and everything is fine. And it's from this place that I am able to look at my life and all the chaos in it and all the quote-unquote disappointments and all the stuff, and stuff is a four-letter word, by the way, and it comes into perspective. It doesn't come into denial. It just comes into perspective. And so, again, to kind of try to tie this into intuition for your business, as you begin to work with quieting that left brain a bit, you begin to integrate into your life a way of being, a way of seeing, a way of just walking through life or being in life that doesn't only use the mind, but lets it stop and lets you sense all these other universes that are going on also. You know, the most creative people tap into this all the time. There's this neat little quote from, and I probably won't find it, but I got piles of paper here. Yeah, whatever. Jonas Salk, you know, the person who kind of did the polio vaccine thing and all. As he says here, intuition will tell the thinking mind where to look next. So with this, you can actually access all kinds of creative stuff. If you're going through a crisis in your life wondering, what am I doing with my life? You know, which of course I'm sure has never entered your mind. you can go into this place and ask that same question, and if you listen, you will hear the answer. You will know it, no, not as a printout, not as a list of, okay, now this is what you do next, and now you're going to do next, you go to school here, go do that, you do blah, blah, blah. No, you get a feeling for what it is, a vision, an impression. Again, we're using pictures in our minds, you get a vision. You know, without a vision, the people will perish, as a line from Isaiah in the Bible there. You know, you have a vision, you know, and then you can begin to create a portrait of yourself as you wish. You begin to see it filling in. And then as you begin to work with that, you begin to manifest it or output it, so to speak, into your life. In other words, what this is all about is learning how to live from the inside out. The whole point of doing business, you know, using your intuition is so that it comes from within and then goes out there. Because it all is within. It all starts from in there. You know, it isn't a bunch of theories, you know, that your brain has come up with or that other people's brains have come up with. And I might add here that most things you think are not original. That, matter of fact, hardly any of it is original. It's all somebody else's stuff that you just kind of picked up on that you keep repeating. So if you want to kind of know who you are, and if you want to have some creative thought, go within and let it come and bubble out from this place. If you want to just keep repeating ad nauseum everything else you've heard, that's fine too, because you can keep moving along in life and doing stuff that way too. Now, if I've insulted anybody, I apologize. Those are simply words I say to myself on a regular basis. No. So, where am I going with all this? There is an opportunity for you as you begin to, or even if you already do, to continually get in touch with who you are, why you are, where you are, and where you're going. You know, we have physical checkups, or at least most of us do, you know, go have a physical checkup once a year, or at least occasionally, or whatever. Get your eyes checked, go to the dentist, you know, all these good things, just to see what the old body is doing. We bring our cars in for oil changes and all kinds of other things that they need, and I don't know what those are, because I don't know anything about cars. But do we ever do a check-in on, hey, yo, how you doing? You know, how am I doing? You, me, I, my most significant other. Yo, hello. I'm from New York City, so I say the yo deal here. And it's like, hello, how are you? Where are you? What planet are you on? And how often do we do kind of that internal check on who we are and where we are? And I might add, and let me add this, and again, this will be kind of said in passing, but again, this is all recorded, and I'll say it slowly, and I'll repeat it. You don't have to go to a medical doctor for this, or a dentist, or an eye doctor. You can do your own internal checkup. And the way you can do this is really simple. Just go in there, quiet your mind as best as you can, and believe me, I know you can't necessarily shut it all off, all at once or anytime you wish. I know that. I've been meditating for 40 years. You just go in there into that quiet place, you know, where you can hear that still small voice within. And you imagine yourself as a rose. And then just look. You might want to be doing this now if you're not driving your car. Just kind of quiet yourself. Or just listen to the recording when you're not driving in your car and you don't have 5,000 other things going on. And just imagine yourself as a rose and look and see, where is this rose? Is it in a bouquet? Is it out on a desert all by itself? Is it in the middle of a rainstorm or snowstorm? Is it daytime or nighttime? What color is the rose? Are the leaves dry or they just feel like velvet? And are there thorns on the stem? Is the rose in a rose garden but dwarfed by many others? Or is it standing there beautiful and just showing herself, himself? Just something like this, just take the time to look at yourself in this way, and it will give you the feedback of who you are now and where you are. And if you just are objective about it and not trying to change or to make it anything other than it is, or trying to make it the way you think it should be or should have been or should have this, should, just how is it? And then it will tell you what it needs. It needs to be watered. It needs to be replanted somewhere else. No, it's doing great. Wow, it needs to be taken out of here because it's in the shadow of someone else, or some other tree or some other something. And as you allow yourself to play with this and to journal it and then to pay attention to your dreams and to impressions you get during the day that just come along. It's like my wife is thinking of changing her job. This was a couple of years ago. She drives by a place she's driven by a million times. It's a real estate agency. She sees a sign that says it's time to move. That sign's been there for years, folks. They're trying to get you to move and go to them. She saw it for the first time. She changed her job. She was so happy she did. Anyhow, there are so many ways in which you start this process that I mentioned, and that who knows where and when things will come to you in a right brain way that will then help you to take the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. Do not expect all the steps to be shown, the script to be written, and for you to know where your journey is taking you, because the journey it's about the journey, not the destination. You've heard that. But you will learn to trust the next step, and the next step is you learn to trust yourself. And this is the way you do that. And if you want, with that same image, to take an image and posit it and say, where was I a year ago? And just say, now I'd like to see the rose of where I was a year ago, and let it form. And then if you want to see where you'll be a year from now, you know, again, you've got to do this slowly and calmly and quietly. Ask, where will I be in a year from now? Not because you're trying to force anything, but you're just trying to get feedback. You're just trying to get a feeling and play with the rose a year from now. And then again, when you erase the rose of where you are now, you can look at the rose in the past and erase that rose and then bring in a rose for the future. And this is an opportunity for you to come to know yourself, to come to know thyself. And it is that divinity that is within you, and I apologize if this is turning anybody off, but believe it or not, you're a divine being who came here to experience all kinds of good stuff, and that's who you be. And you can come to know thyself, come to know who you really are. And then, no matter what winds are blowing, you have the roots. You know, you can be that rose with deep, deep roots, and you just know that all is well. Because you know the clouds, you know, the storm will pass, and you know that behind the clouds are light, are sunlight. You know, and if you need nurturing, you know that the storm is bringing you, you know, the rain that will provide the nourishment that will help you to grow further. And you will know that you can, you know, allow a seed to grow somewhere else. So whatever, you can move, whatever. I'm going on and on and on and on here. But part of my kind of stream of consciousness that I'm doing here now, relatively coherent, I hope, is to help you realize that this is the way the process works in using your intuition. That you begin with an image, like a little golden thread, and if you follow that golden thread, it will weave an incredible tapestry before you that will help you to see and get a picture of your life and help you to paint a portrait of who you really are, one that you can outsource, so to speak, or manifest in your life, that you can outpicture into your life. Life is not a series of random things that happen to us. This is not a random universe. You are not a spiritual orphan. You're not left out there all alone on your own. But there is a guiding hand and a guiding heart. And what you need to do is stop running away from it. What we need to do is stop running away from it and simply stop and pay attention. And then as we move forward, all this stuff, you know, again, stuff will happen. Stuff is a four-letter word. Sorry, folks, stuff happens. But how to put stuff in context, how to see it as just simply a next step to kind of get its lessons and to continue to move forward and on, is what I feel is the gift of intuition. the gift of, you know, what life is all about, and what meditation can also help you to kind of access and find. So, yeah, that was a boatload. So I think I'll just take a breath here and stop.
Well, let me take a pause here for a moment, and I would like to remind folks where they can find your program and your books and so forth. So on Amazon.com, and congratulations for being a best-selling author. That is absolutely awesome, and I'm really thrilled for you. That's a tremendous feeling to be able to make that status.
Thank you.
I just wanted to congratulate you on that. So if you're looking at the show page, you'll notice on the show notes that we do have a picture of the book right there and a link over to pick it up from Amazon.com. And his book is Magical Keys to Self-Mastery, Creating Miracles in Your Life. He also has a package that includes this book. It also includes some other materials and tools to help you, and I'll have you talk a little more about what all is in there, too. And also, one of the bonuses is from John Harrison, and also best-selling author who, as we mentioned earlier, has been a guest on our show here and is the creator of Power Pause, the author of that book. So that system you're going to find over at Ask TSL, Ask the, T like the, S like story, L like lady.com/mastery, and you can see that whole package. So, Yanni, tell us a little bit about what is in that particular grouping to assist people in learning to open up.
Yeah, well, the book is, or the whole package, is, by the way, it's digital. So it's a digital book, and then there are also kind of audio pieces to it, is a book that helps you kind of work with a lot of the things that I've just expressed to you, both your intuition and meditation. And as well, I lead you in numerous guided meditations. Geez, I don't know how many I have. It must be at least 8 or 9 of them. And then also there's a whole piece on the physiological benefits of meditation and, again, how to do it. So what it is it's a program to help you to whether you've already done meditation or not, to kind of get to understand it on the level of how do I approach this, how do I do this, what are numerous things I can do during the day to kind of keep me in this state, so to speak, and then numerous audio things that will, you know, shorter and longer meditations that will help you to get a feel for how to do it for yourself, and then you could keep using those. They're guided, or use others, and it's just, a whole program. I'm at a loss for words, which is rare, as to what the program is. I apologize for being a little, a little loss of words here. But it'll give you the whole, give you an opportunity to understand and what I've been speaking about and implement it in your life easily and seamlessly. Yeah.
Excellent. And you talk about how all change is an inside job.
Correct.
You have some phenomenal testimonials from people, and you're really walking people through 7 core principles of self-mastery, including peace of mind and how to listen to your higher self, and how you are your most significant others you've been talking about. So a lot of these things you've heard on the show, if you're hearing that going, gosh, it sounds cool, I'd like to know a little bit more, you will find all of that inside of this particular package.
Yeah, thank you,
and,
Rhonda. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I have found over the years that really if I just stop and take a deep breath, I can switch out of a whole stress mode. And really, peace of mind is a breath away, or it's a thought away. In other words, watch what you're thinking, and if it's a series of stressful thoughts, change them, and you can. And that is
of making a conscious decision to do that, right?
Correct. And again, this is part of what's in the package to teach you how to do. I'm getting refocused here, folks. Thank you. Also, like, what are you doing all day? What is your purpose in a day? Is it how much you can do, or is it what feeling or quality you want to embody that day? Do you want to embody the quality of being overwhelmed, overworked, overstressed, you know, kind of a thing? Or do you want to have the day be one that you feel at peace, that you feel confident, that you feel, I don't know, courageous or whatever it is? Well, again, in the book, it helps you work with maybe deciding that rather than having a to-do list that you do, and it's okay to have a to-do list, that you might also decide each day to have a to-be list. What do you want to be today? What quality do you want to embody today? And you can do your do-do stuff, and I have lists of things to do. That's no problem. But do you ever have a list of how you want to be today? And if you don't, you're actually just going to willy-nilly be whatever, whatever is being thrown in your direction.
Yeah. I absolutely love that idea.
I do too, Gina. My gosh, I just love that, love that, love that. It's just beautiful.
And I also teach my students to use their short-term goals as if they were to-do lists, so that they can actually reward themselves with gold stars each and every time they accomplish something on that short-term goals list. They can really use the same technique with the to-be list. I absolutely really have to implement that.
I was going to say, boy, that's something I'm going to be adding, and I will make sure people know that that came from you. That is so incredibly beautiful. Imagine
well,
just
your
being...
long-term goals list, Rhonda, 3 to 5 years from now, what do you want to be?
Correct, right.
And how do you want to be? Not only what, as in I want to be a blank, but how I choose to be in the world in 3 to 5 years and in 1 year and today and et cetera. How I choose to be in the world, how I choose to show up and present myself. That is so powerful to have a to-be list. I love it.
And how do you want to be with yourself? Which is all part of this. Yeah, and also in the packages, some of you may have children, and you may wonder how can you help. You know, for myself, I wish someone had taught me this way back in the days when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But in either case, there's a chapter on things you can do with, you know, even infants, all the way through, God forbid, teenagers, that are pretty simple and pretty easy that you can seamlessly put into your lives and the lives of your family. And matter of fact, all of it is something, whether you have children or not, or whether they're now no longer in the nest, so to speak, all of it is stuff you can implement for yourself, because we could use it all. And I might, I know this isn't on your site, but if you don't mind my mentioning this, I do have another site where I have a bunch of free stuff for people. Would it be okay
if
I just...
show notes.
That would be great.
Yeah. The other site is InsideOutJourneys.com. That's InsideOut and then Journeys, JOURNEYS.com. And I have a kind of a movie there, or not a movie, but a short kind of flash movie that kind of gives you a sense of all this stuff. And then I have a free 16-part course, email course, Being a Master of Your Mind Makes You a Master of Your Life. Anyhow, and so if you would like to some, free material, you can just go to, again, www.insideoutjourneys.com. And there's a whole bunch of stuff there you can kind of, get and play with. But also feel free to go to the other site that has been, that they Gina and Rhonda have been referring to.
Absolutely. Now, I will add your free site into the notes and so that people will have that as well. But it's Inside Out Journeys, plural, InsideOutJourneys.com.
Correct.
And, yeah, you have a free class there and really are helping people with your intuition to open up. So if you're somebody who goes, I feel like I have it, but it's random, and I remember getting into this huge, cool discussion. I mean, it wasn't an argument at all. It was just this conversation that went back and forth for a while with someone about, is intuition something you can develop on demand, or is it just random? And it's like kind of like you're either struck with it or you're not or whatever. So we had a great time talking about that. And you're giving people the tool to have that come into where you can call upon it and use it very reliably and very systematically by the things that you're teaching, and not just this one spark that you then don't know how to interpret.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Carl Jung, you know, the psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm. One of my faves, yes.
Yeah, one of my favorite as well. And now I just have to find where in heaven's name the reference is here so I get it right. Actually, I just have to look over, apologize for not having this right in front of me.
It's funny that you mentioned Carl Jung. Rhonda and I are friends with a guy by the name of Elson Eldridge, the obvious expert. And Elson inherited a business from his father that is called Centerpoint, that is a foundation for Jungian research. And I'm actually working on a project right now with Elson to bring that to the internet.
Oh, that sounds great.
Excellent. Yeah, and they do have a Blog Talk Radio show, which is Friends of Carl Jung, if you want to check that out. I have been a guest on that show with Elson a while back. And, yes, Carl Jung is one of my absolute favorites because he talks about some universal roles that show up in people's lives and helps people understand them and just has lots of great insight.
How they work with them, yeah, the archetypes. Yeah, I mean, the quote here is, well, two of them. One is, all of reality is not thinking. And for him, when he kind of did his psychological work, he understood that there are four, I mean, he wrote or came to the conclusion that there are four basic psychological functions, and they are feeling, emotion, sensation, and intuition. And there aren't too many folks out there saying that. These are the four basic psychological functions. This isn't like intuition is an add-on or something. This is a basic psychological function.
Right. It's not just for New Agers or New Thought people.
Right.
It's everybody. Remember that we're talking about, you know, over a century ago. We're talking a long time ago.
Correct, that he came to this. And, you know, it's interesting, there are a lot of other cultures, you know, who understand that intuition, you know, they integrate that into their way of being all the time. And they're not primitive cultures. they're just, you know, the Renaissance and the Enlightenment and all that, kind of some of the baby got thrown out with the bathwater, and we kind of became relying on the whole cognitive left brain kind of focal point, and as a focus point for the way we gather information, and threw out some of the baby, I'm afraid. So this is just trying to integrate. It's not trying to exclude or diminish the value, but it's trying to add to. Yep.
Right. Absolutely, and that's great. And so we really can notice that there really is every reason to rely upon that inner guidance system. And I know, Gina, you're certainly somebody who is all in favor of that as well. And just I noticed that in the way that we both work with our students, and, of course, Yanni, you teach intuition directly.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always in one way or another talking about following that inner passion, that inner knowing, and really tuning into what's going on for you.
Yeah, and, you know, again, as someone just, again, creates the intention that I'd like to develop this hardwired faculty that is within me, that as you do, really begin to look for impressions or pick up on things. And again, I had in my little monologue back there earlier, you know, kind of quickly gone over, but pay attention to your dreams, okay? Pay attention to little signs that the universe, quote-unquote, you know, like my wife's little tale there about changing her job and all. Pay attention to these things that all of a sudden come to your awareness. I mean, again, my wife is driven by, you know, had driven by that, the real estate agency is no longer there now, had driven by that thing who knows how many years, and that silly sign, I know, because I would see it was always there, it's time to move. But why was it, here she was really thinking about it on the way home, and there was an opportunity for another job for her, and, you know, it was like, ooh, God, I don't know, should I do this? You know, oh, my God, I'm making a change is a four-letter word. I don't know if I should do this, blah, blah, blah. And then she sees it, and she goes, yes. You know, why? And then she did, and it was really a good move. And it was like, why discount that? Why, you know, why did your field of awareness all of a sudden notice that where it didn't before? The universe, you know, Einstein once said, the most important question to ask yourself, is the universe a friendly place or not? Do you believe it is or it isn't? And that will determine your whole worldview and how you live your life and how you experience your life. And it took me a while to realize, given the upbringing I had, that, you know what, the universe is a friendly place. And I don't know, you know, there aren't things trying to attack me all the time or make things go wrong, despite what my mom said. It is a friendly place, and it is trying to help you find your way, you know. And if you're looking, it will speak to you, because everything speaks to you, you know.
Anyway. See, I can remember different times where songs will go through. I'm sure we've all had the experience where a song is going through your head, you know, and sometimes it's the really annoying jingle to such and so that kind of gets stuck there, whatever. But there are times when a song is running through your head, a lot of times there's a significance to it, and if you just tune into what it is. I remember having a job at one point that I was really feeling unhappy, and all of a sudden, and I hadn't seen the movie or read the book or had any interaction to where this would have made any left brain sense at all, I started thinking of the song from Pinocchio, I got no strings to hold me down, to make me fret or make me frown, et cetera. There are no strings on me. So I was like, oh, so this is a sign from me, like, huh, I need to cut free of this, you know. Which I was kind of feeling, but it was just that sign. And because I hadn't just seen the movie or read the book or read it to the kids or had any reference to it, I really did know that was a sign that, yeah, this is just another part of myself kind of reinforcing that particular message.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've been teaching intuitive development now for 15, 20 years. I don't even know how long it is. It doesn't matter. As I work with the people who come to the classes, they all have different ways of, so to speak, picking up information. And there's one woman in particular who, you know, okay, tune in for so-and-so, and she always got songs. And that's the way she picked up information. Little ditties would just come out. She couldn't sing, you know, bless her. I mean, she's actually a friend now. Please don't be insulted, whoever your name is out there, about her singing abilities. But that's how she would pick up on, you know, so to speak, get a message or get a hit or get information on someone. A song would go through her head. And, you know, I guess she has a good catalog of them there. That would be the way the information would come to her. So it was really cute. I loved having her there because we always have some singing going on.
And a friend of mine was feeling she wasn't sure what to do, and she says, oh, well, she's going to turn on the TV and watch a show. The first line of whatever show was randomly on said, don't do it, was the line. And she went, oh, okay. You know, and she realized that must have been, because it was so strong. It was really, I don't know what show it was, doesn't matter, but, you know, it was really strong. So you just never know where those little messages will come from. It can be something you happen to read or see, or something a person or a friend says, right? So it's very interesting, and I'm glad you shared about the lady in your class that would come up with the songs.
Well, you know, also, I mean, it's interesting. People will randomly say things to you, and it's just an affirmation. If we have a moment, you know, and if we don't, just tell me to zip it, and I won't give you this example.
Yes. Amazing how fast this goes.
So we do or we don't? I'm sorry, it got...
We only have 5 minutes left. Go ahead.
Okay. this may seem mundane, but nothing is mundane. You know, it's all, you know, amazingly sacred and beautiful. Life is, it really is. My son is 14, and he was playing on a baseball team last year, where they played like 90 games for, you know, 9-10 months, kind of a lot of baseball. Anyhow, so we were switching him off the team, and there's been a lot of resistance from people that he's leaving and all that, and we're trying to find another environment that we feel is better, kind of from a point of view, the attitude or the culture of the group of people involved. And so I did. But, you know, it was like, well, I don't really know, but my intuition was this is absolutely the right place. And so I was convinced. And then they had their first little tryout or playout, workout, whatever it was, the other day. And so my wife said, let me just come along too. Let's just go together, because whatever. And just, and I said, sure, let's go. And my son had a great time there, and my wife was there. And she just started randomly talking to some people there. And every one of them said exactly what she wanted to hear about the coach and the place and the thing and the this and the that. She didn't ask any questions. Everything that we weren't happy with in the other place, what people were just randomly starting to tell her was not going, you know, she didn't say this was wrong there. She just said hello, and then they started blabbing at her. And then it was like, and then she now felt completely clear, you know, about the whole thing. So it's like she just put herself there, and the next thing she knew, she just kept getting all this data that went to her, oh, my God, how did you find this? And I went, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know with my rational mind how I found this, because it made no sense on a whole bunch of other levels, which I don't need to go into. So, you know, it's like magical keys to self-mastery. Life is not a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be lived. That's Thomas Merton. Life is not a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be lived. And you can't live the mystery if it's just your mind you're using. There's this other faculty that allows life to be just this miraculous unfolding of one inspiration, one revelation, one wonderful thing after another. Life is meant to be lived as inspiration, not as perspiration. And so, again, the only way I found to do that is to kind of live from the inside out, you know, live with your intuitive faculties working for you.
Excellent.
Okay.
That's been phenomenal to have you with us. And I want to remind people that you can find the course that includes all the materials around the magical keys to self-mastery over at asktsl.com/mastery. asktsl.com/mastery. You can find Magical Keys to Self-Mastery also at Amazon in Kindle and in print as well, correct? I believe it's in print as well.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's available in that form, but of course you don't have all those other materials that come with the particular downloadable package. And it's so cool and wonderful and exciting to have you here. Gina, I know I've really enjoyed it. I'm sure you have as well.
I have as well. Thank you so much, Joni. I really appreciate you. If there's anything else Rhonda and I can do to help spread the message, please don't hesitate to contact us.
Thank you. Thank you both for just being there and doing this. It's really a service you're providing people, and I honor you for that. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. Well, we will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101. Thanks, Rhonda. Everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving if you're here in the U.S. If you're not in the U.S., enjoy the day of Thanksgiving anyway.
Yeah, be grateful.
Amen.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yes.
Thanks much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101.